Those are the hours where it leads. I've been sure for a long time that I'm sleepless, chakras, extra tefillah is part of the avoda at this time of year. Shiva tefillah stucca, as you know. Having said that, I assure you I'm not.
Life into the fabric, into the walls of Yankee Stadium. All of you tell me that you walk from the walls of MTA every day, and this place has a real neshama. And I'm about to just spend a couple of minutes telling you about one of the people who breathed life into that neshama from the time that he entered the high school as a Talmud in 1956 until, as Rabbi Taub said, very recently. I really don't have very much experience with this faith of being a Kohen, but I feel it's important for Rabbi Borenstein that we try to paint a small picture of this person who was described yesterday at the Rabbi as a giant who stood on the shoulders of giants. Why was he on the shoulders of giants? Rabbi Borenstein is not the first person in his family to enter the walls of MTA BYU. He had a father, a Noah Borenstein, and his son, Rosa, one of Rosh Yeshiva here, who was a Gaon Olam. But Noah Zatzal, who was one of the first girls, the most beloved Talmidim, one who it is known that his questions, his passions that he asked the first girl, gave rise to many of the pieces of the Torah that appear in print from the first girl. And our own Rabbi Soloveitchik, from Rafa, is reported to have said that Rabbi Borenstein could just as easily have filled the shoes that he did as Rosh Yeshiva of his yeshiva. In truth, my initial feeling when I heard that Rabbi Borenstein's Patira, Motzai Rosh Hashanah, was that knowing him as well as I could have did, he really did not want to be Matriya to anyone, and certainly didn't want to be Rabbi Torah anyone to attend his funeral. But in the morning, on the way into the yeshiva, upon discussion with Rabbi Mendelsohn and Rabbi Schiller, we concluded that we just couldn't not go. Who was Rabbi Shmuel Borenstein? This is a man who excelled in the midos of humility, caring, patience, and tmius. He was someone who I would describe in the words that were descriptive of Shlomo HaMelech as being someone who was Nechva El Hakim. He was hidden among the vessels. You didn't notice him. That is the level of humility that he had. At our Borenstein's retirement farewell party, he spoke to us, we the faculty, about Imotikosai Teilechi. He talked about going and growing and movement in Torah. One of the Maskinim yesterday pointed out that although Rabbi Borenstein suffered very serious and severe Yisurin, where Yisurin means punishment, means suffering, excuse me, suffering, the last couple of years of his life, and he knew that suffering is a great kapara. But Rabbi Borenstein never used that word in describing his personal situation. He just went about his business, and his love of Torah superseded whatever he may have been going through, be it the cancer that he was fighting, the kidney failure, the pneumonia, and other ailments. There was only one medical issue that Rabbi Borenstein insisted on trying to rectify, something that he couldn't live with, and that was his failing eyesight. Because without his eyes, he wouldn't be able to do that which he loved most, namely learn Torah Hashem. And just as, if not more so, more important than him, to learn his grandchildren. When I asked Rabbi Shmuel Borenstein privately at his retirement party, what exactly do you plan to do with your free time? He did not bat an eyelash in responding that one of the things he looked forward to most was learning with his Emunah. The truth is that Rabbi Shmuel Borenstein's bitachon displayed itself not only in how he handled the suffering of his body, but a number of years back, his house went up in flames, and that scarred his lungs permanently, and he narrowly escaped with his family as he carried down, and he showed up the next morning in MTA, wearing the only suit that he owned, and attended the refuge meeting, and he tore his shear as if nothing had happened.
Serious financial crisis, and aren't they?
The faculty at the time was asked, please, not demanded, but they were asked to donate 10% of their salary to the university. You guessed it, Rav Shmuel, who one might have himself considered to be someone in serious financial crisis. He was in. He loved this place, and he believed in it. But most importantly, the thing I need to tell you about Rav Shmuel Bornstein is that he was a tzaddik in the truest sense of the word. His bitachon was apparent in the way he lived every single moment of his life. He appeared as a very simple man, but he was indeed very complex. And his tamimus is not to be confused with naivete. Rabbi Hecht, our own Rabbi Hecht, who also taught in the yeshiva for so many years, was masked yesterday, and he quoted the Gemara about the 36 hidden tzaddikim who sustained the world. Rabbi Bornstein could certainly have been one of them. He also pointed out, Rabbi Hecht did, that in all the years that he carpooled with Rabbi Bornstein, the many, many years, through the many conversations both in Torah and meeting the Avraham, he couldn't recall one word of Lashon Hara ever spoken by this man. And I can say that in all the years that I ever sat with him in the teacher's room or had anything to do with him, I also cannot remember or recall one negative word that he ever said about anyone. It was refreshing to have Rabbi Bornstein as a source of inspiration all the years that I was here, from the time that I started as a Talmud in September of 1973. I consider Rabbi Bornstein my Rebbe. Not because I was ever in a shiur, but because I learned so much from him that I couldn't have learned from any other Rebbe. He was a walking Musar Sefer. It was a great honor for me to have been Rabbi Bornstein's colleague and friend, and to have been in his presence for all those years. Rav Shmuel, I think I speak on behalf of the whole yeshiva, both those who knew you personally and those who, just in the last few minutes, have heard about the special person that they missed out on and saying that we will sorely miss you. The Gemara states in Maseches Bava Basra that this world, Olam Hazeh, is an Olam Hafuch. It's a topsy-turvy, upside-down world. Tachtonim l'mala ve'elyonim l'mata. People who should really be low are raised up on a pedestal. And people who should be given kavod are not given the proper cover. Due to the midos that I described, Rav Shmuel Bornstein was a perfect example of this. But now, as the pasuk says about Shmuel HaNavi, a different Shmuel, the pasuk says, was Shuvasa HaRamasa Kisham Beiso. He returned to Ramasa, to Ramah, because there was his home. The word Ramah means heights. I feel that we can confidently say about our own Rav Shmuel that he is now returning to the place that Kisham Beiso, that he will feel very at home in, the place of great tzaddikim, great gedolim, and they'll know. They'll know how to put Rav Shmuel on the Ramah pedestal that he so rightly deserves. He's a pro-baruch.